Hi, welcome to another episode of The Leader Feeder. Kirk and I are here again today, and today we're going to discuss how to assess change readiness in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirk, maybe we could start off today by what does it mean when we say change readiness? Like, what are organizations, what's that mean?
Yeah, it's one of those, it can come off as one of those terms that seems very vague and kind of cloudy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So change readiness essentially talks about how ready is your organization and the people in your organization for change. That's really what it comes down to. So, you know, if you want to bring in some sort of change initiative, or small or big, how ready is the organization and the people in it to handle that change, to tackle it? And when we're talking about it often as a leadership development company, we're talking about training, right? When you bring in someone to do training, or when you introduce some kind of training, training is a change, right? Because you're going in and you're saying, here's how you currently do everything. And after this training, I want you to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So even though a lot of people wouldn't think of training necessarily as change management or a change initiative, it really is, because you're saying, now that you're done the training, I want you to do things differently. So we have to think about, within a training environment or a training maybe dimension, we have to think about, is the organization change ready relative to the training?
Okay, so you're saying is the organization change ready, but you're also looking at aspects of the frontline leaders that you're wanting to, like, so you're looking at both of those things?
Absolutely.
Is the team that you want to train ready for all these changes,
mm-hmm.
but also on the other hand, like, is the organization also
ready
for change? That's what you mean by that?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about an organization is the people. Right? When it comes to change. Like, yes, there's the systems.
See, I was kind of thinking, like, the organization as in, like, the upper management or the people organizing the training and things like that.
Yeah, it is that too,
okay.
right? So at the end of the day, it is all of the levels of management. It's all of the levels of frontline workers. It's supervisors.
Okay.
But you're right. There could be that specific, the specific team or department or level of managers or leaders or people that are getting the training. So that's one way to look at it. And then you're right. The organization could be everybody else.
Right.
Because if I train one group of people, depending on what I'm training them on, I'm going to expect them to do things differently, and that might have a domino effect where I'm expecting the company to be to be different after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just about the specific people receiving the training. It's what's the trickle or ripple effect of everybody else in the organization? How does this training affect them as well?
Okay. And why should or would that matter to the organization, like, to make sure that their their teams are, you know, ready for the change that we want to make?
Yeah. So I went to a conference a few months ago, and one of our presenters at the conference, she's really wonderful. Her name is Dr. Elena Schlatta, and she focuses on measuring training and learning, all about how to measure these things. Because for a long time, they were these really abstract things, and we just talked about, you know, go in and do the training, and people are going to go, great, that was an awesome session. But then you want to always note, did we actually change things? Did the organization actually change? Are people doing things differently? And so she focuses and really highlights how to measure the change, how to measure training, how to measure learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in her presentation at this conference, she talked a lot about how change readiness, what that looks like and how to even measure it, but also why it's important. And what she was saying was, if you want to bring in training, that's all well and good. But if people aren't ready, and if the organization as a whole isn't ready for that training, then when we talk about an ROI, when we talk about a benefit from the training, it's going to be reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, if you want to introduce a change, but no one's ready for it, then it's going to fall flat a little bit because you haven't prepped the people for it. People aren't kind of mentally prepared, and maybe not even more logistically prepared to take on the new change. For example, I mean, if you're going to introduce a new piece of software, okay, and that software requires new computers, and you say January 1st, the new software's taken flight, you know, but then no one has their new computers January 1st, it's great. You can launch the software January 1st, but no one can roll with it.
Right.
And so it's going to be this very disjointed, kind of stilted or disconnected experience. Instead, you have to think about change readiness. In that specific example would be, okay, if we want to deploy this new software come January 1st, then that means we have to have the computer set up before that so that everybody has the computers they need, for example, to run the software. So it's that's where change readiness and an organization being change ready is important. Now, we're not talking in our kind of realm about software usually. We're talking about training, and we're talking about handling conflicts differently, and we're talking about how to give effective feedback in a different way than the organization might have been doing previously. So we're talking about generally people skills.
Okay.
But it still applies in the same way. If the culture of an organization is a certain way, and you know, you're going to introduce this training to try to change that, but you haven't really prepped people, you haven't put the systems in place to make sure that after the training, the message is sticking, then it's going to fall flat.
Right.
And that's where being prepared for a change, aka training in this yes. case, is so important.
So when we're looking at people skills, like in our realm of what we do, training people, like you said, how would you know mm-hmm. if your team was change ready? Mm-hmm. Because I imagine that would probably be a little bit difficult when we're talking about the soft skills side of things. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
How would you know if your organization was change ready?
That is a really good question. And I think there's a sort of an easy answer, but then there's also, it's also a little bit difficult.
I like not making it
easy. Yeah, right? You never make it easy on me. So one thing that Dr. Schlatter was talking about is, you know, training effectiveness predictors. And she had this really great list of these training effectiveness predictors. And some examples are, you know, is the whole company aware that the training's taking place? Are they aware why it's taking place and what the benefits will be of that training? Or is it sort of the specific people being involved in the training are told about it, they go off and do their training almost sequestered, kind of hidden, and then they come back and they're supposed to effect change.
Right.
Right? Does everybody know? You know, do their direct reports know that they're doing training and why? Do their managers know that they're in the training and why? Is senior management not only aware of the training, but are they supportive of the training? Do they believe that this is worthwhile? Are they getting any information on the training so that afterwards they're all speaking the same language? Are there incentives in place for the learners to take the training? Not that there always has to be. Sometimes it's training that comes because the trainer or trainees maybe have requested it even.
Right.
But is there any sort of reason that the learners should go, I want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of ties into the next piece, which is what is the motivation of the learners? And
oh,
is there any motivation on
right.
the part of the learners?
Right. Or are they just being told?
Yeah. Are they being kind of forced to take the training?
Right.
They have to? Or was it their idea? Was it them going, we would really like to get better at you know, communicating with our teams. That would help make our lives easier.
Right.
So these are all examples of what Dr. Schlatter would call training effectiveness predictors.
Okay.
And what she's saying is, I don't know that there's a particular threshold, you know, to your question of, how do you know they're ready? I'm not sure there's a particular, you know, level where you can go, okay, now they're definitely ready. What
you
I think we can say
stage.
Though, yeah, well, you can set the stage and I think you can say, okay, the more of these things we have in place and the better they are, the more successful the training will be. Because again, this is, you know, training effectiveness predictor, not mm-hmm. training success, not to say specifically it will be successful or it won't.
Yeah.
Any level of training is probably going to be successful or effective to a certain extent. But mm-hmm. what we're saying here is, the more of these factors, right, that you have in place and the mm-hmm. better you have them in place, the more effective the training is likely to be. Mm-hmm. So you can bring in the best instructor with the best content ever, right? The mm-hmm. best program, everybody comes out of it loving it. But if all of those other factors I just mentioned, you know, the motivation of the learners before the training, you know, whether or not the rest of the company and the employees are aware of the training and what the benefits are and whatnot, if some of those other factors are very low because you haven't paid attention to those or taken the time to think about those, then the training can still fall flat and you can still have very little effectiveness
okay.
and very little ROI, mm. even though you have this amazing training program that people come out going, that was great. And so to answer your question, you know, in maybe a more direct way, how do you know whether it's ready? You don't technically, mm-hmm. but what you would do is you look at some of these effectiveness predictors. So just to mm-hmm. rhyme them off again, you're looking at who is aware of that the training is taking place and are people aware of why it's taking place and what the benefits will be, not just to the people taking the training, but to the whole organization. Is senior management, and maybe even more levels than just that, but particularly senior management, are they supportive of the training? And are they on board in terms of maybe they've taken the training themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's sort of a manager overview so that they know what they need to know relative
oh.
to the training.
Mm-hmm.
And again, are there any incentives or what's the motivation of the learner to take
mm-hmm.
it? The more of those things that you take the time to put in place, and keep in mind, there are other predictors as well. Those aren't
okay.
the only ones, but those are just some solid examples,
mm-hmm.
I think. The more of those you have in place, the more likely the training will be effective.
Nice. I really like what you said about the motivation of the learners, because I feel, just as you're talking about these predictors, that the more that you talk about it and the like, make people
mm-hmm.
aware of the training and what you want the training to be about and what you want them to learn,
mm-hmm.
even if you told, you know, Sally, you're going to take this training, mm-hmm. and she says, okay, but then you say you're going to learn all these things, mm-hmm. or like, I mean, not just one, you probably wouldn't just be talking to one particular yeah, person, sure. but hey, team, yeah. Yeah, you're going to sure. be learning all these things.
No.
Then I think you're actually motivating them more, whereas maybe they thought, oh, I didn't realize that was a communication problem. I didn't realize that these frustrations mm-hmm. I was having may be linked to, yeah. you know, communication or maybe linked to other things.
Yeah.
So I think the motivation factor one really
yeah.
stuck with me because yeah. I think that would really help the team understand. If you're letting everybody know
yeah.
what's going on and what's yeah. happening, then they're going to be like, oh, yes, I want yeah. to
get a little bit
this
excited.
Training. Yeah, they'll get a little
yeah.
excited.
And not even just talking, well, in addition to talking about the benefits, also talking about sort of what pain points will this help? Because most training comes in to solve some sort of a
right,
problem.
Exactly.
That's usually what happens,
yeah, we're
right?
We're not just coming in to
yeah,
come in.
Yeah, it's not, oh, we're going to improve your communication skills. It's that, and it's, and here's why that's going to make your job as a leader
right.
easier or less stressful, right? Or it's going to make your communication more effective, which means that you'll have miscommunications mm-hmm. less often. And we all know how frustrating a miscommunication can be. So I think also reiterating or explaining not just the benefit, but what pain points
yes.
a training program could solve is a helpful thing to get them more change ready.
And we always like to say too that it could also not just only affect your work life, but your home life
yeah,
too, right?
That's
some
right.
of our training with things
yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
If you're less
yeah.
stressed at home, or pardon me, if you're less stressed in the workplace,
yeah.
when you get home, you are, you know, you take stress with you to work
mm-hmm.
and you bring stress home from work. That's just
right.
inevitable. I think that old idea of leave your emotional baggage out the door.
Yeah, turn that light switch off.
Yeah, turn the switch off. I think we know now that that doesn't really happen. There's no switch that you just flick off and you just leave it all at the door. I mean, certainly you need to know how to keep it professional at the workplace, you know, absolutely. But there's not this sort of, if you're extremely stressed about what's happening at work, you will bring some of that stress home with you and that gets put on your family and,
yes.
and friends and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you're doing this training and it's making people feel not only better about their work, it's
mm-hmm.
also going to make them feel better about their home life, or rather the stress they're not feeling
mm-hmm.
will
Absolutely.
Translate into less stress at
Which
home,
Which you
too.
All really like, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we were talking about, or you were talking about the predictors.
Mm-hmm.
So you listed off these predictors. What kinds of tools
mm-hmm.
could, say, managers use to implement or use these predictors? Like, are there tools that managers
to kind of assess how change ready they currently
yeah.
are?
Yeah.
You could say there's a whole whack of them, right? You could take, for example, you could do a survey, right? You could do a survey to talk about how motivated people are to learn or what their current skill gaps are, because that's one piece is
mm-hmm.
if you bring in training that nobody thinks they need, they might not feel like it's very
right.
relevant.
Yes.
So if you can assess people's skills and say, oh, it sounds like you folks are struggling with giving feedback in the moment. It sounds like it's something that you're struggling with. Then when you bring in training for that, it's going to be, you know, you folks took the survey or the assessment. We identified this as a group. So it's now something that we've brought in. There's a sense of, oh, they're answering our needs. They're meeting our needs versus me coming in and saying as the manager, I've noticed that you folks aren't giving feedback. So we're bringing in training to get you better at that. It's sort of like, if a learner can identify their own weaknesses or areas of improvement, they're probably more likely to buy into training or any sort of learning that's going to help them get better at that thing,
mm-hmm.
rather than someone else identifying what they're not good at and saying, you need to work on this or you need to get better at that. Now, that's not always a guarantee
right.
that that's how that's going to work. But in a lot of cases, if they can identify it for themselves, or again, through a survey where they go, oh, wow, 60% of us leaders at this level have identified that, you know, we struggle with managing conflict. Clearly, this is something that as a group, we feel we want to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way. I mean, I think another way when it comes to sort of involving your team and motivating them is also just conversations, right? So if I say, you know, Suzanne, what do you think that is something you want to work on? Where could you get more support? Where could you get more help? And those one-on-one conversations can also be a way to gauge not only whether people even want the training, but how ready they are for it.
Hmm.
And then I think something that you might think about when you're talking about, you know, how can you assess how change-ready an organization might be? You could think of the past. You could look at the past and go, what training or initiatives have come through in the past and how were those received?
Mm-hmm.
What changes actually took place following that training or that change initiative? You know, the past is not always a predictor of future success. But it's at least a way to go, oh, every time we've brought in training, it's kind of fallen flat. Let's try to diagnose why that is so we can do a better job this time. Mm. So it might be that, oh, well, we don't tend to give a lot of communication or much of a heads up leading into it. It's here and suddenly people are being pulled into training. Oh, so maybe one thing we could do better this time is we can give them more notice and share more information about the training leading up to it.
Okay.
That's an example. So I think conversations, getting people's input is one really good way.
Okay.
And I think also looking at what you've done in the past or what the organization has done in the past and how that's either worked for them or maybe hasn't worked so well to then go, okay, you know, if we do the same thing we did before, we're probably going to get a similar result. So what can we do differently to get a better result?
So ultimately, like you said earlier, we're bringing in training because there's issues that, you know, companies want to solve, right? So how can leadership positively influence change readiness and you know, support that transition?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about it a lot already, but I would go back to it, is communication. So to support the transition and to support a positive reception of the training and of the changes, to communicate. Communicate as much as you can about it, as sort of as early as you can.
Okay.
So letting people know that this training is happening, letting people know why it's happening, letting people know the benefits, and again, not just the people who are taking the training, but probably all of those involved. So that could be the direct reports of the people taking the training. It could be the managers of the people taking the training, so that everyone's in on, oh, this is what we're going to get out of it. Instead of, again, just communicating to the people who are doing the training. So that's my first piece. The next would be the support of the leaders, I think. So the leaders in the organization, and I don't just mean senior management, but the leaders of those taking the training, but also senior management, they need to be supportive of it. Because if someone takes a session or learns something and goes to their manager and says, hey, I did this training, I learned this, and their boss essentially tells them it's going to be the same, it always is, why would we bother changing? Then what was the point of the training? And that person is going to feel very demotivated. So I think making sure in advance that you're doing what you can to make sure that there's support from management at all levels of the training and what the messaging is for that. And then I think the other thing is involvement. So this is something that should probably happen before you really bring in the training, but involvement as to what should we get training on? What are your areas for improvement? What are the things we want to focus on or work on? So those three things, I think the involvement of those that will be in the training, so there's buy-in. I think communication to the participants as well as those around them about what the training is, why it's happening, so on and so forth. And getting the support of the leaders and the management so that the training is well received and there's that continuity afterwards. It's not just this one-time event where the training happens, everybody goes back to their job and it's status quo.
Awesome. Okay, so that sounds like we have some great ideas. Sounds like there's a little flexible plan there that people can kind of use to see if their organizations are change ready. It was good to chat today. I hope our listeners got some good information about how to assess if your team is change ready. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great day.